Let us pray. Our most eternal and everlasting Father, we are thankful this morning. Thankful for your mercy. Thankful for your kindness. Thankful that we serve a living God. Thankful that we have a high priest who stands in the inner sanctuaries of heaven on our behalf, pleading to you. We are also thankful that God the Holy Spirit, who knows your will, prays on our behalf. Every way we are blessed of you. So we thank you. Now this morning, Father, we have gathered together in obedience to your instruction that we should do so, especially as we see the evil days draw near, so that we can be encouraged through your word. So as we have gathered, Father, we recognize that our human minds are incapable of focusing or concentrating to that which is spiritual. So then it is our request that God the Holy Spirit, the perfect communicator, will enable us to hear precisely what you have for us this morning. This is our request in Christ's name. Amen. We are continuing with our consideration of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14 that we have been studying for some time, and we will continue for some foreseeable few more weeks or so. He reads, I'm going to read from verse 9, where it says, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Now the message we have been expounding is concerned with living as children of light. Living as children of light, as the Holy Spirit instructs us through the Apostle Paul in verse 8. However, so there can be no confusion in our minds as to what it means to live as children of light, the Apostle explains it in verse 9. So that we understand that such a life is one that is characterized by the production of the Holy Spirit that is presented in terms of three virtues of goodness, righteousness, and truthfulness, or even faithfulness. Now so, we indicated that verse 9 is to be taken as a parenthesis, as it is reflected in the markings of our many English versions that put parentheses behind the before and after verse 9. So the apostle, having digressed then in verse 9 to explain what it means to live as children of light, returns in verse 10 to continue the instruction that has to do with living this, or with this living of the life that is expected of the children of God. And so verse 10 again says, and find out what pleases the Lord. Now, for one thing, that is all we're going to consider today. And find out what pleases the Lord. That's all we're going to consider for our study today. Now, the clause, to me, is an example of where people think ignorance is a bliss. This clause, for example, gives it to me. Now, you see, it is, in my judgment, similar to the situation where many Christians do not know there is more to the spiritual life than going to church every Sunday and listening to some songs and few sermons of 15 to 30 minutes or thereabout. And so they think, yes, we're doing great. They don't realize there's much more to it.
The same thing applies when you read this verse. You say, oh yeah, find out what pleases the Lord. But there's much more to that verse. And that is where, if you don't know what I'm going to, and anyone who reads it in English, unless you're able to consult many of these various translations, you see there's a problem. But if you just read it, as you said, no problem. But anyone who reads anything from the Greek realizes, oh yeah, there are tons of problems. So I want you to pay attention, because for the first half, we will just really be dealing with some problems. It's only when we get to the last part of the second half that then I will start applying this verse, so you can go home with something. But you need to know how we got there. That is the thing that I'm always anxious, is to ensure that you understand how we got here, so that you don't want, I don't want anyone to go home and say, well, that's his opinion. It's not my opinion. So that's the reason I go through all this length, so that when we finish, you know where it comes from. Now, verse 10 presents several interpretation difficulties, since the translation of the NIV is one possible way of interpreting what the apostle wrote in the Greek. Now, this is because the instruction of the NIV, and find out what pleases the Lord, is more literally from the Greek, proving what is pleasing to the Lord. Proving. If nothing else, just this word. Proving. That's the word I want to, that's not in the version you have, depending on what version you have, if you have the NIV, it's not there. But the Greek says proving. Proving what is pleasing to the Lord. Now, virtually, the meaning or the interpretation of almost every word in the Greek of this verse, that is, as reflected in the literal translation, is contested as to how to fully render it into the English. That's why I say, there's just no agreement on how to render them. Now, this implies that there are four major problems that we're to contend with in the exposition of verse 10. There are four main problems. A first problem is how to deal with the word proven, the literal word proven I wrote down here. Now, the problem is tantamount to whether the word makes verse 10 a dependent or an independent clause. I know some of you just, I thought I was true with all those things in grammar school. Why are you talking about clauses now? No, you're not true with it. As long as you're on this planet, you're still thinking. We have to think in terms of sentences and clauses and so on. So you're not true with it. And that's, of course, that's one reason most people just get turned off and they just don't pay much attention. But anyway, the issue is whether verse 10 is dependent or independent clause. A second problem is really how to understand the Greek word that literally is translated proving. How to understand it. As we're going to see, it has a lot of meanings. We're going to go through all that. Now, a third problem is how to understand the word what. Look at what it says, find out what. That word what. We need to find out what it is, if it refers to what is already stated in previous verse, or to be taken in a general sense of actions that are intended to please the Lord. A fourth problem is whether the word Lord refers to Jesus Christ or to God the Father. So you see, virtually everything in that sentence has problem. That's why I said there is a passage that you read it in whatever version you have, your contempt is fine. I mean, which you don't have any other knowledge, so you're okay. Anyway, so you see that when we say that virtually then, the meaning or interpretation of almost every word of the Greek expression is contested. That is not an exaggeration. Anyway, we have identified the problems that we'll be dealing with in our exposition. And we'll go to work now and start looking at them. It is our contention that the first problem is tantamount to whether to consider verse 10 as dependent or independent clause. What this really means is how to relate. The literal reading proving what is pleasing to the Lord in the Greek to the command that you have in the NIV that says, in verse 8 that says, live as children of light, which is the main command of the passage that is concerned with believers living their lives as children of God. As we have already implied in the identification of the first problem, there are only two major ways of handling the issue of the relationship between the command in verse 8 and the Greek expression given in verse 10. A first way is to consider what is given in the Greek of verse 10 to be loosely related to what is given in the structure of verse 8. In other words, the action required in verse 10 is taken as an action which accompanies the command stated in verse 8. So that the action of verse 10 indicates another command that is added to the one given in verse 8. So that the action of verse 10 then indicates simply another command that is added in addition to what we already have in verse 8. And in that case, it will be what you might call a standalone command that has nothing to do with verse 8. So that is one way to look at it. Now, this way I've explained, to take it as a standalone, which virtually means independent, that is what you have reflected in the translation of the NIV. Now, majority of our English versions do not even use the word "and," because the translators of the NIV use the word "and" to make you think, it's connected. It's another command that relates to verse 8, since verse 9 is a parenthesis. But majority of our English version do not even use the word "and," that will indicate a loose connection between verses 10 and 8. Instead, they render verse 10 as a new command that has nothing to do with verse 8. And so we have such translation. Let me give you one translation. It says, try to learn what pleases the Lord. That's the way we find the translators of today's English version rendering it in the Greek. They don't even put the word "and," they just say, try to learn what pleases the Lord. Now truly, we can say that all our English versions, except for the New American Standard Bible, the King James Version, and possibly the contemporary English version, take the view that verse 10 is another command, and that is different from that issued in verse 8 when it says, live as children of light. So that's one way you look at that word, proven, looking at the sentence itself of verse 10, say, it's independent, so it's a new command. Now, a second approach is to take verse 10 to be dependent on verse 8, implying that verse 10 is still concerned with the instruction of verse 8. In other words, it's not independent, it's still continuing that instruction. Now, this approach is faced with its difficulties, because such an approach leads to different possible interpretations of verse 10, as will become evident later on in our exposition of the verse. So we have these two approaches. The question now is, which of these two approaches was in the mind of the apostle? And so, this fits the context. Now, again, I keep reminding you the basic principles of what we're doing. When we're doing interpretation of a passage, we are trying to go into the mind of the author, what the author was thinking, not what you and I would think. It means it's what was in the mind of the author. That is to say, what did the Holy Spirit give this person to think about when the person was writing? So that's what we're trying to do in every time we do interpretation. Now, truly, in this particular case, it is difficult to be dogmatic about which approach was in the mind of the apostle. Nonetheless, in spite of the difficulties of the second approach, it seems that that was probably the interpretation that was in the apostle's mind. In other words, I'm saying, even though you can say it's independent or it is dependent, I'm saying probably the apostle saw it as he was thinking to be dependent still in verse 8. Now, this is because he has my reason. Now, you can say it's the other one, that's fine. That's what NIV has. But we're going to see the implications of all this. Now, this is the reason that I believe that the second approach that takes it to be dependent is probably what the apostle was thinking. This is because it is unlikely that the apostle will have followed the instruction that demands believers to live like children of light with another instruction that is not directly related to the command given in verse 8. Especially as he explained in verse 9 what the command in verse 8 means. Now there's also the fact that verse 11 is still concerned with the same instruction of living as children of light, although given in a negative fashion. So it is unlikely that the apostle will have completely left the topic at hand about living as children of light or God to something as that, while true, does not directly relate to the passage or the topic at hand. So when the apostle issued this, I don't believe that he is going into a different thing. Furthermore, to take verse 10 as a new instruction does not fit the pattern. There's a pattern we find in the next clear command of verse 11. When the apostle issued a related command to that of verse 8 in verse 11, he issued another command in the same verse 11 that is also related to it. But that is not the case with verses 8 and 10. In other words, what we're saying is, in the Greek, there's a clear command in verse 8. With verse 10, it's not a command. The word is not a command in the Greek. That's why I wrote the word proving. That's not a command, proving. If anything, that's a participle. So it's not a command, proving. Now, but when he came to verse 11, he gave a command in the first part and followed it with another command in the same verse. So there is something that tells us he wasn't thinking about another command. Otherwise, we would expect that if he did that and then went into explanation, then he should come back to the same topic. Not something else, because that's what taking that as independent means is another, he's thinking about something else. Of course, as someone has also indicated, to take the Greek verb translated proving literally in our literal translation as a command is not what's called natural grammatically, because the verb translated proving stands between two Greek verbs that are clearly what's called imperatives, that is commands. Therefore, we believe that what the apostle wrote in verse 10 depends on the command to live as children of light given in verse 8 to complete each sentence or complete each sense. So what we're saying, that's the first problem. We're not saying, yes, we should look at verse 10 as being dependent and not independent. Now, how then is verse 10 dependent on verse 8? How is that so? Now, before we get to consider this question, we should remember that verse 9 is parenthetical in that it explains what it means to live as children of light. So, we should read verse 10 for the moment by ignoring verse 9, so that what we should be concerned is how verse 10 depends on the command to live as children of light. Now, by the way, we should also remember that we indicated that the command to live as children of light is essentially the same as the command to live a life controlled by the Holy Spirit. That is, as the Apostle Paul puts it in his epistle to the Galatians, when he said, live by the Spirit, that we considered last week. So with this comment then, we proceed to consider the question of how verse 10 is dependent on verse 8. How can we say it depends on it? Now the Greek reveals that there are at least five possible ways to explain the dependence of verse 10 to verse 8. There are at least five ways. Now this is, again, you remember, I keep reminding you sometimes, I know I say it many times, but I keep doing that. So you put in your mind, we are studying, I'm teaching, we're not preaching. Now that is, in a preaching situation, somebody will just say, well, they pick one of these and just run with it. Now the next day you find another believer who challenges you with the other one. You say, no, that's not correct. Because you don't know. But when I give you all this, the intention is so that you realize the problem. When I zero in, or if it's one case, when I zero in, I explain to you why. So if you run into another believer who has a different perspective of it, you can say, well, this is what I believe, and this is the reason. Anyway, so there are at least five ways the Greek reveals to us. A first possible interpretation is that the action of proving, specified in verse 10, is one that takes place at the same time that the believer lives as a child of light. In other words, that the proving and living as a child of light goes on the same time. A second interpretation is that the action of verse 10 indicates the manner of living as the children of light. A third interpretation is that the action of verse 10 is the reason for living as children of light. A fourth interpretation is that the action of verse 10 gives the purpose for living as children of light. Of course, the third really and the fourth interpretations may be difficult to differentiate, since it is often difficult to differentiate purpose from result. A fifth interpretation is that the action of verse 10 results from living as children of light. Now all these interpretations speak truths that can be associated with living as children of light or living a life controlled by the Holy Spirit. For example, when a person is controlled by the Holy Spirit, his purpose or result can be an action, as we note, for example, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Now hold on to Galatians, that chapter 5, I'm going to still stay on that. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 reads, So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. See, to live by the Spirit is essentially to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now the clause, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature, could be understood as what results from being controlled by the Holy Spirit. That is, that a person who is controlled by the Holy Spirit will never give in to sinful desires. That can never happen. Anytime you give in to sinful desires, you know immediately you are not controlled by the Holy Spirit. Or, the clause could be interpreted as a purpose of being controlled by the Holy Spirit. That is, to say that the purpose then of being controlled by the Holy Spirit is so that no one would give in to the desires of sinful nature. See, when I say if you are controlled, you can't do that. Then I say, purpose of it, maybe so you don't do that. So you see, that's result and purpose a little bit, they come together. Yeah? Now take another example. It is possible to consider another action as taking place when one is controlled by the Holy Spirit, as implied still in Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 25. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. It is, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. See, the word live is in the present tense in the Greek, so also is the expression keep step. Now, the fact that both expressions are in the present tense in the Greek suggests some kind of habit in both parts. The implication will be that both habits of living with the Spirit and keeping step with the Spirit are things that should take place at the same time when the Holy Spirit controls the believer. That is to say, in a sense, when you keep in step with the Holy Spirit, that means your behavior is governed by the Holy Spirit. So you can be, as soon as you are filled with the Spirit, your behavior will be governed by the Holy Spirit. I mean, there's more to keeping in step, which I explained a long time ago in little detail. Now, so the point is, in which case, as I've given you, we have another example then of an action expected to take place at the same time when another action takes place. Now, the point of these two examples, though, is simply to confirm that the five interpretations of the relationship between verse 10 to the command of verse 8 are possible and do not introduce anything that is erroneous. Now, this notwithstanding, we still need to determine which of the five interpretations was in the mind of the apostle when he wrote down verse 10. It seems to me, though, that we have a case where all the interpretations we have given you are required to fully explore what the Holy Spirit says through the apostle. When I say something like this, those who are engineers, they understand about graphical communication, where you describe something from three views in order so that they will get others will understand the picture or the object that you're talking about. Now, it's the same kind of thing that we have the four Gospels. And I say to people, all those four Gospels are necessary to talk about this great Savior. You can look at him from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's just giving different views. You can't say this person is wrong, that the other person is right. No. It's just all those views taken together are necessary. So in my judgment, all the five interpretations here are necessary to communicate what was in the mind of the apostle. In effect, then, that the Holy Spirit directed the apostle to write what we have so we can see that verse 10 is intended to inform us of what happens when a believer lives as a child of light, as well as to tell us the manner of living as children of light. So that's the intention. Now, to see though that this position, that the position we have taken, is probably what the Holy Spirit intended for us to understand and what he directed the apostle to write in verse 10, we need to consider the requirement that is advocated by the apostle in verse 10. Look at what he's requiring. Now, the translators of the NIV imply that the action expected of believers in verse 10 is to find out something. As in the translation, find out what pleases the Lord. Although the literal Greek reads, proving what is pleasing to the Lord. Now, the literal translation reveals then that one of the major problems in the literal translation, as we have stated, is how to understand the Greek word that translated literally proving that I wrote down here, Or, as you find in the NIV, say, find out. The expression find out or proven of the literal translation is translated from a Greek word that basically is concerned with determining the genuineness of something, so that it means to test, to try, to prove. That's why I use it, meaning prove it. But it has several other nuances depending on the context. Again, I keep reminding you since we're starting, when you use a word, you go to a dictionary, you look at it, a word has maybe 5 or 6 meanings. You need to decide which one suits the sentence. That's about what we do when we study. Now the word then that we have, the Greek word I said, has several other meanings. The word can mean to interpret, as the Greek word is used in a passage where our Lord denounces his audience for being able to interpret weather, the weather conditions, but were unable to interpret the spiritual situation of things in their time with respect to his appearance on earth, as stated in Luke chapter 12, verse 56. Now, that's not really the issue that I'll just make a comment here. The Lord denounces about they're able to predict the weather right by looking at the conditions. Now, but they couldn't recognize his presence. Same kind of thing today, weather people, they do their best to predict things about the weather. But they say nothing about the spiritual condition of people. For one thing, they don't see those things to be related to the spiritual conditions. But the Bible tells us otherwise. All these are related to people's spiritual condition or status, depending on which. But, you know, they can tell us it's going to have landfall here, the storm or hurricane. Yes. But they don't say anything about what could cause that? What could make God angry to direct winds to do that? They don't talk about it because they don't know. So, for the Jews who do that, the Lord calls them hypocrites because he says, hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? What is he saying? See, the word, what he's telling them, yeah, you can do the forecast by looking at the weather. But here the Son of Man is in your midst, and you can tell. You can tell. So that's the meaning of that's one meaning of the Greek word translated prove or find out. The Greek word can also mean to try. In the sense of testing something out or trying to prove the value of something, as the word is used in one of the excuses for not honoring a banquet invitation by one of the invitees in the parable of the great banquet recorded in Luke chapter 14 verse 19. Luke chapter 14 verse 19. He reads, another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and on my way to try them out. Please, excuse me. See, same Greek word, but here it's translated to try. In order to prove whether it's what the one explaining it, more or less. Now, the Greek word can also mean to approve, in the sense of choosing something after a person has put to test the various possibilities, as it is used in Romans chapter 2, verse 18. Romans chapter 2, verse Romans chapter 2 verse 18 reads, if you know his will and approve of what is superior because you are instructed by the law. See, the translators of the today's English version, instead of the word approve in this passage in Romans, they use the expression to choose what is right. In other words, instead of saying approve of what is superior, they say to choose what is right. Now, it is, of course, in the sense of either to approve or to choose that the apostle used the same Greek word to describe the action of the Corinthians with respect to the handling of the gifts from them to the church in Judea, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 3. And hold on to 1 Corinthians, because the next passage will also be in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 3 reads, then when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. Now here, the Greek word, although it's translated approve, it can also be translated to choose. In other words, the men that you approve are those you're going to send. So there will be the men you chose. That's another way, so that the Greek word can mean either approve or to choose. Now the Greek word can also mean to examine, to examine, to examine. In the sense of to look carefully into a person's soul to ensure that everything is right so as to permit a person to partake of the Lord's Supper, as the apostle used the same Greek word in his instruction in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 28, where he gave the instruction about the Lord's Supper. So, and most, you hear me many times when we have our celebration of the Lord's Supper, and I say, you need to examine yourself to be sure that you are in the right spiritual condition to partake of the Lord's Supper. Because if you're not, you just bought yourself some discipline. But here, this is how the apostle used our Greek word. It says, a man ought to examine, same Greek word, translated, try out or find out. Or proving. So here it says, a man ought to examine himself. What does that mean? That means you have to look inwardly. Because no one knows what you're thinking. Now right now, there's, even as I'm speaking, some of you are there looking at me. But your mind is not here. Your mind is somewhere else. I don't know that. Because I can gaze sometimes, because when I pan my eyes through, I can see some people, and I realize their mind is somewhere else. But as I gaze, I can't be absolutely certain. But that's what happens. So, no one else knows you as you know yourself. No other human being. Since no one else knows you, you are the only one that can critically monitor and check your thought, check your state to know what you're doing. That's why I say, to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. Now the Greek word can also mean to test the validity of something. So that the apostle used it to test the sincerity of the Corinthians, as he stated in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 8. And hold on to that, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, because the next verse will also be in that chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 8 reads, I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. So here, the word translated test. And the word can also refer to the result of a testing process, in which case it means prove or verify, as it is used still in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse 22. Look at verse 22 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Here it reads, in addition, we are sending with them our brother who has often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous, and now even more so because of his great confidence in you. So the apostle implies that the brother has been tested several times and has shown that he is zealous with respect to spiritual matters. Now it is also in the sense of testing to prove or approve someone that the word is then is used in, regarding the instruction of choosing of deacons in 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 10. First Timothy chapter 3 verse 10 reads, they must first be tested. That's a Greek word. They must first be tested. And if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. They must be tested. Now the word also can really mean to discern or to evaluate. To evaluate. As it is used in Philippians chapter 1 verse 10. Philippians Philippians chapter 1 verse 10. It reads, so that you may be able to discern what is best, and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. Now, it is true, the Greek word means to discern, so it is true then that the translators of the NIV use the meaning to discern, here though, but that is not to say that this is the only possible meaning of the Greek word in Philippians 1 verse 10. It's not the only possible meaning. As reflected in our English versions, because various English versions, we have a different word used here. For example, the today's English version uses the expression to choose. So that it's not be able to choose what is best, instead of just to discern. Or, that's how they translated it, while the Revised English Bible use the phrase to learn by experience. To learn by experience. In other words, that you will learn by experience what is best. Now this notwithstanding though, the use of our Greek word in Philippians has the meaning of either to distinguish between things that differ, and thus design what are best or what are best things, or approve or value the things that are excellent or proper. Now the word also, the Greek word, can mean refined. It can mean refined. As it is used, although in this case it has really a figurative meaning, but still the word refined is used in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7. First Peter 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7 reads, "These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." Here the Apostle Peter used our Greek word translated refined in a figurative sense, since faith is not something we can hold so as to put it in a fire for refining. Now definitely the Lord refines us through some kind of putting us through on the fire. In other words, many times we run into all these problems and testing to challenge our faith, and we start wondering, why, Lord, why should I even have this? He is refining you. So the testing process is a way to get you stronger, to get you more solid in what you believe. They are necessary. I know we don't think so, because anything that hurts us, we don't think it can be of any good. Now, I really think about it, when you think about it, I don't know if anything that is really good or something that you achieve in this life, really, that doesn't inform some form of pain. Now, if you, you know, I mean, just in conversation, if you think about it, let me know. Because everything that is worthwhile on this planet involves some kind of pain. Now, so you say, well, you know, you look at some of this, you measure it, let's say you measure in terms of material things. And you see these people who are very rich, wealthy, and so on. You don't know the pain they have gone through to get there. You don't know how many sleepless nights they've gone through to get there. You can think about, let's just even think about physicians, for example. You don't know how many 24, 36 hours they go through without sleep. And when you see them, you just, all you see is what they get. You're not thinking about, what did they go? There's some pain. They went through some pain. And that's why I keep reminding some people, when you go there and they come to you into the examining room, say, "Hi, what is this, what is that?" And less than 3 minutes they're out. And you complain about how much you're paying. Well, I say, you're not really paying for what they did now. You're paying for the pain they went through before they got there. So my point is, whatever is good in life requires some pain. If you think you can get something good without some pain, have bad news for you. That's not going to happen. I mean, I want to think about it, even all these people who are criminals. They want to rob a bank. There's a pain involved in that. Because they're risking they can also die. So, I mean, either way. So my point is, anything that's really good in life requires some pain. Therefore, it is not a bad thing for the Lord to put us through testing. Though we don't like it, it is necessary to mature us. Anyway, we have considered the various meanings of the Greek word translated "find out" in the NIV, or "proven" in the literal translation. So the question is to determine in what sense it is used in a passage. So here are all the possible meanings. So which one fits a context based on which one was the apostle thinking? Now the meaning "proven" in the sense of demonstrating by evidence is possible, or that of the design is also possible. Now, the standard Greek English lexicon of Bauer, Danke, Art, and Gingrey suggests, that's what we call it the gold standard of the lexicons. It suggests that the meaning in Ephesians 5 verse 10 of a Greek word is something like to try to learn, which is essentially the same thing used in the NIV in the expression "find out." Furthermore, the meaning of testing to show that something is genuine is possible, since such a meaning is associated with believers who have undergone spiritual transformation, as indicated in Romans chapter 12,
verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It is, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Notice here, is talking about testing and approving what God's will is. And remember what we're looking at? Find what is pleasing to God. So he's expressing the same concept. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So that you see the meaning to prove or approve or test is possible. Now there's, of course, in this, there's no consensus though as to how to translate our Greek word, even here in the passage of Romans chapter 12, verse 2. See, for example, the no doubt the translators of the NIV and the New English Translation use a verbal phrase to test and approve in their translation. Now, the translators of the God's Word version or translation use the expression to be able to determine, to be able to determine. And the Revised English Bible uses the phrase to be able to discern. So you get the idea, there is no consensus as to how our Greek word can be translated. So the point is that it is difficult to be dogmatic about the meaning of a Greek word as used in Ephesians 5 verse 10. So that the meaning to approve, to discern, or to try to learn is possible. Any of these three meanings possible. So the implication then of asserting that the Greek word the NIV translate find out has several possible meanings in our context prove the point that our interpretation of the relationship of the Greek verb that the NIV translated find out to that of the command to live as children of light in verse 8 is one that is intended to convey several truths in relationship with living as children of God or being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Remember I told you when we try to see how verse 10 can be considered dependent on verse 8. And I said there about five ways that we can think about that. So when it's all said and done, what I'm saying is the Holy Spirit directed the apostle to use a word so that we can see a whole lot more to what he's saying there. So this means then that there are several things the Holy Spirit intend for us to learn from the literal translation proving what is pleasing to the Lord. And here there are three things I want you to get from that. First, living as children of light goes hand in hand with discovering or discerning what pleases the Lord. They go hand in hand. In other words, when a believer is filled with the Spirit or filled of the Holy Spirit, that person is then capable of knowing what pleases the Lord in a given circumstance. What we're saying is, if the Holy Spirit controls you, and you're in a given circumstance, you will know what pleases God at that circumstance. That's one of the things he wants to tell us. When you are control of the Holy Spirit, and you are in a certain circumstance, you will know what is correct. Second, learning what pleases God is how a believer live as a child of life. Now that's when I say purpose, result, and they all come together. So all we're saying is that learning what
pleases God.
If how a believer lives as a child of light. So there is something that is, you know, in a way, it becomes something like the issue of the chicken or egg, which one comes first. Now, what that means, what I'm saying is this. You need to be filled with the Spirit. You need to live as child of light to know what God wants. But you also need to have know what God wants in order to live as child of light. So this is what I mean, that they're interacting. So the point is simply this. That learning, which is something that we keep emphasizing, and which I'm going to emphasize in the second half, as we begin to wind up this verse, to show you see the importance. That learning what pleases God is really how the believer then lives as a child of light. This says then that you cannot, I can put that in a very dogmatic way. You cannot live as a child of light unless you are continually learning from the scripture what pleases God. And it's as very simple as that. It's a simple statement, but it's a truth. Unless you are continually learning, continually. Now, when continually doesn't mean you don't have a breathing space. It means something that goes at certain interval, with consistency. You say, for example, you say, okay, I'm going to devote 1 hour before I go to bed to study my note, my whatever, go through whatever it is that will enhance my knowledge. Now, what word is advocating, it means you do it consistently. Even in some cases, even if you are dying, you still want to do it consistently. In that way, what you're doing is, you're going to be finding out what pleases God if you do that consistently. So that is the thing that's why we keep encouraging the purpose of learning. See, a lot of time, here's something that you also, as a believer, you have to think about. There are a lot of time you come here, we think about something, or go through something. Sometimes you go away and say, well, I didn't really get anything that will help me today. Oh, well, I hope that doesn't happen. But suppose that's the case. Did you hear something? Did you retain it? Every knowledge that you retain in the Word of God is going to come someday, serve you well. You use it. That's why, well, when I say continually learning, the more you learn, the more you have information. And at the right time, the Holy Spirit brings up for you and you use it. Third, living as child of light, that is being controlled by the Holy Spirit, leads to proving the things that please God, or has as its purpose that of proving what pleases God. Now this means that if you must prove what you do is pleasing to God, then you should be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Since it is impossible to do that which does not please God if one is controlled by the Holy Spirit. For what I'm saying is this. When the Holy Spirit controls you, but sometimes we may think about this thing, but we don't really focus into detail. But here is something very simple. When the Holy Spirit controls, when we keep talking about being in control of the Holy Spirit, one of the things is, once the Holy Spirit is controlling you, see what He does? He controls your thoughts. He controls your actions. If the Holy Spirit is not controlling your thoughts and your actions, you are not controlled by Him. Period. And so these are things that we have to know in terms of pleasing God. So, of course, it's time for break, so we take a break. When we come back, we'll continue.